This is Jordan Secchio. The United States military responds to Iranian-backed terror group that fired missiles at U.S. Navy ships in the Persian Gulf, and FBI agents disgusted by Jim Comey.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The U.S. has retaliated against Yemen after yet another attack on a Navy ship. An escalation in this area. Tomahawk cruise missiles targeting multiple radar sites along the Red Sea that took part in two failed attacks on the USS Mason. Those missiles launched by a U.S. destroyer and hitting areas controlled by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels.
Iran is really the key player here. They have been harassing U.S. ships not only in the Red Sea, but also near the Straits of Hormuz for months now. Their rebels fired on U.S. ships during the week. They fired again. They were warned that U.S. captains have the right to protect themselves, and that is exactly what happened overnight as the Navy launched multiple Tomahawk cruise missiles to take out the radar sites that guided those original attacks.
I mean, we've been shot at twice now. I hope we would shoot back. I suspect if we shot back after the first one, we wouldn't have got the second one. And remember, we're in the area here where the USS Cole was nearly sunk. A number of our sailors were killed. This was an Al-Qaeda organization that did that. We didn't do anything about that, by the way. And the following year, tragically, we got 9/11.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The FBI's decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton for mishandling classified information causing a split inside the agency. An insider telling Fox News that career agents and investigators believed without exception that Mrs. Clinton should have faced charges.
I think what a lot of agents are frustrated about is they believe in the old FBI, that they were going to take on whoever they needed to take on if they were powerful individuals or ordinary Americans who had violated the law. And this kind of goes to the heart of the credibility of the FBI.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hi, this is Jordan Sekulow. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And for those of you joining us on Facebook and Periscope as well and watching our broadcast, we want to take your comments as well. Logan's in the studio with me. Than Bennett's in our studio in Washington, D.C. Let's do just a quick rundown of what we'll be talking about today. As you heard in the open, first, the U.S. has finally fired back, the U.S. Navy, after over two days, missiles were fired from the Iranian-backed Houthi, they call themselves rebel, we call them terror group, that's based in Yemen. They fired two missiles 2 days ago at a U.S. ship. Thankfully, the radar on the ship was able to take those missiles down before they reached the ship and caused any damage. By the way, the Houthis have used these missiles to attack other U.S. allies in the region and have caused significant loss of life. They're real missiles. If they hit, it's caused, for instance, the UAE, one of their boats was hit, didn't have the same kind of sophisticated radar as our ships, and 40 of those UAE service members were killed. So this is serious. It went on for 2 days. There were two missiles fired on Tuesday, then two missiles fired yesterday, and late last night, the U.S. fired back, which is a good thing. Now, they fired back in I'd say, a very proportional way, if you'd say. They took out two radar bases that the rebels had taken over, the Houthis had taken over from the Yemeni government. But at least the U.S. is firing back. Why is this important? This rebel group is a Shia group, backed a terror group, backed by Iran, of course, in Yemen, which is predominantly Sunni. So this is an Iranian-backed terror group that the U.S. is now engaged in a real active. They're not just firing at us now. We're firing back at them. This ties directly into, of course, our dad's new book, Unholy Alliance, a New York Times bestseller. The agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. Go to unholyalliancebook.com if you haven't purchased that yet. And Logan, quick update, Asiya Bibi's case. We got the petition up. You can tell people about that and take comments. A judge of the Supreme Court recused themselves, so now the case has been delayed. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. One line open right now because the lines are filling up really fast. 1-800-684-3110. Or get your comments in live video streaming on Facebook and Periscope and ACLJ.org. Just search Jay Sekulow. You'll find us there.
The fact that Asiya Bibi's case now has been delayed by the Pakistani Supreme Court means international pressure is working. Our petition is almost at 500,000. We're only 19,000 names away from hitting 500,000. Go to ACLJ.org and sign it.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Just to update you on a couple stories we're going to get into further. The FBI, it's reported now, there are many FBI and DOJ even attorneys, and Fox News broke this story, but they've confirmed all of their sourcing within the agencies, who are just disgusted, as we predicted, as you can imagine, with how Jim Comey and the higher-ups in the Obama administration, like Attorney General Loretta Lynch, handled the Clinton matter. In fact, they completely disagree and believe that, as Jim Comey laid out all that evidence, that anyone else would have absolutely been prosecuted, and their staff and those individuals would have been prosecuted for this violation of the not just regulations or policies, but the actual law, including, by the way, the obstruction of justice, the destruction of the evidence itself, which many times in these investigations carries the longest penalties. And the law, because instructing a federal investigation is sometimes a more serious crime than the potential crime they're actually investigating. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. Also, that the U.S. is now engaged with the Iranian-backed, I call them terror group. They call themselves a rebel group in Yemen. The Houthi rebels, remember, they've been firing missiles at U.S. ships in the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Aden, which is a dangerous spot. Yemen is in a civil war. But let me tell you about the Houthis. Like Hezbollah in Lebanon, this is another Iranian-backed terror group in a predominantly Sunni country in Yemen. They are part of the Fiver Shia Islam, 12er Shia, you know, the 12 Shia Islam, the 12th Imam, just like the Iranian version of the Iranian state's official version of Shia Islam, which is a more radical interpretation than many Shia Muslims around the world. And they, again, backed completely by Iran. So this is, again, it goes to that idea that, as reports were saying, that $1.7 billion that the U.S. gave to Iran could have absolutely been used to fund the Houthi group, terror group, that was firing at the U.S. Ships over the last 2 days. So what the U.S. finally, and we were saying how weak the response has been, and we'll get into this more about whether or not this was a strong enough response, but the U.S. has now fired back, taking out two of the Houthi rebel, their radar facilities in Yemen. And that's important because that's what they have used to launch these missiles at our ships. This, again, they, because of the civil war, the reason why they have these radar facilities in the first place is because they've taken those from the Yemeni government, kind of like how ISIS has taken over some of the Syrian government's official military sites. So we'll continue to update you on that. But there's breaking news in Asiya Bibi's case. Asiya Bibi, a Christian mother of five, has been in prison in Pakistan for nearly 6 years, since 2010, when she was convicted of blasphemy for, again, charges that even under the most strict interpretation of Islamic law would not constitute. It was a very politically charged case, has been for years. We've been working on this. We have an office in Pakistan. The case was scheduled to be at the Supreme Court today, which would have already been done by our time, because Pakistan's ahead of us, many hours ahead of us here in the United States. And instead, something unique happened. Shahryar Gill, who oversees our office in Pakistan and counsel with the attorney with the American Center for Law and Justice, is joining us now. Shahryar, let's break down some interesting news. Instead of hearing the case today, one of the justices of the Pakistan Supreme Court recused themselves on this day, like did not do this earlier, recused himself this day. Tell people about what that means.
That's right, Jordan. What happened was our team was present at the court, and I got a call at 2 a.m. in the morning, and they informed me that one of the justices who was on the three-justice panel, he recused, as soon as the case was called, the justice recused himself, stating that he could not preside over the case because he was the chief justice of the Islamabad High Court when Mumtaz Qadri's case was heard and his conviction was upheld. Now, Qadri is the security guard who killed the former governor, Salman Taseer, who was supporting Asia Bibi in this case.
Right. I mean, but here's the interesting part, Shahryar, and tell me, just because I don't want to overstate things, I don't know exactly, this is a different kind of court system than our Supreme Court in the U.S. It issues decisions sometimes on the same day. It has 16 justices, but three judge panels. So is it normal, though, for one of those judges or justices to announce on the same day the case is supposed to be heard they recuse themselves? I mean, couldn't he have done this months ago, or did he just find out recently he was on the panel?
Oh, absolutely. He would have known. There's no other way that
he didn't
know.
So this was pressure, probably? I mean, do you think he just did not want anything to do with this case?
There could be a number of reasons. I was told today in the morning that there were hundreds of people present at the court. There were a lot of Muslim extremists who had demanded Asiya's that the court upholds her conviction.
Her conviction, by the way, is death by hanging. A Christian mother fights death by hanging. And just to remind people, so you've got all these Islamic radicals. We've seen that those news reports as well. The same from the Red Mosque uprising in Islamabad. This is radical for Pakistan standard of radical Islamic groups. So Shahryar, what happens next? How long will it be? Is it a good thing that this got delayed in a sense? I mean, because obviously the government in Pakistan and their judges are feeling the pressure, but we don't want her to stay in prison any longer than she has to. That being said, we also don't want her to be executed. So this international pressure we've been working on, petition with over 500,000 people, I think it needs to continue. But what happens now?
Well, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court constitutes these panels, and the case goes to him to decide or to actually set up another panel, at which, frankly, we don't know whether it would take days or months. That's basically up to the Supreme Court to decide to create another panel.
Yep. All right. Great. Well, Shahryar, we're going to bring you back on our second half hour of the broadcast because we have different listeners coming in just to explain. Yep. But in the matter of Asia Bibi, Logan, we've got our petition up at ACLJ.org.
That's right.
We got to keep the pressure up. She stays alive.
Right.
We live to fight another day, if you will. The judges, it's always a good thing. I talked about this yesterday on the show. I said these are not like our court systems. So you will have goofy things happen, bizarre moves happen. So you don't give up until it's really over. Yeah. And it's not over even when courts make decisions in these countries. But here the court has almost deferred. We saw this happen in the Iran cases as well with the persecution many times. So our petition is very important that people start really putting the pressure
on. Right. Over 500,000 people have gone on.
Our second biggest ever, right?
Second biggest petition, I believe, of all time. And that really, these kind of news-making things that happen, whether it's things getting delayed, like you said, this could be a positive. It could be going a good way. You have no idea where things are going to end up, but we need to keep the pressure going. ACLJ.org to get your name on that petition. Or if you have the ACLJ app, just click sign. It's the easiest way to do it. It's probably if you have the app for your smartphone. Very, very simple. Again, just a few lines of information, and you can be a part of this movement. Do you want to go ahead and take a call?
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. We got plenty of politics to talk about as well.
Yes, that's the majority of calls coming in. Yeah, now, folks, we are trying to really stay on the topics we're covering today. So if you are calling in, know that we'll get some political calls
and
in.
And more later in the show
but
as well.
Right now, we're trying to focus.
Obviously, the FBI story ties directly into the political. So, but let's take a call because I think there's some that do tie into that. Obviously, we're less than a month out from a presidential election that is very important. And many voter registration deadlines across the country. 13 states had deadlines yesterday. Some have same-day registration. It's up to you. We can't go through all 50 to find out. But make sure you are registered to vote and that you're going to take part. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Roger in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You're on the air.
One person needs to go to prison, and that's Hillary Rodham Clinton. And the other two are Comey and Lynch. They need to be kicked out of office in disgrace.
Yeah, well, I would certainly, you know, I'm not going to say, because I don't think it was a real investigation, that Hillary Clinton should definitely be in prison herself. And here's why I say that, because it was a phony investigation. So when you have an illegitimate investigation, you can't then say, so she definitely should be thrown in. She should be investigated and probably should have been prosecuted. But in the United States, even when you get prosecuted, you have a defense. So that's why I say that we didn't even get to that point in the investigation. Neither, not with her staff either. On the other two, we've already called for that. And we've called Robert for Loretta Lynch to resign. We've called for Jim Comey not just to resign, but to actually be impeached. And here is what is now in the news. I want to go to Than Bennett on this, Than. Fox News breaking that, quote, this is from the Department of Justice, a source that's been totally confirmed by news outlets. So this is not, again, in some kind of conspiracy websites. Here's the quote, quote, no trial level attorney at the Department of Justice agreed. No agent at the FBI working the case agreed with the decision by Jim Comey not to prosecute. It was a top down decision. Than, your quick reaction as we go into this break.
It's something we've speculated a lot about, Jordan. And the thing that was striking to me about that article and the reports that are coming out of it is that it looks like all of these agents involved were actually shocked at the moment that Director Comey delivered the verdict that he would recommend no prosecution. Jordan, also, just to quickly pass along the information, I mean, they're also shocked that they had tried to take on the job of the Attorney General. Remember, the FBI is supposed to investigate and recommend. Instead, they made a decision about prosecution wholly inappropriate.
And this is why we've said, folks, that this whole idea, it's disgracing the FBI and the Department of Justice and the people who work very hard there to do the right thing. It's made those agencies just totally this cloud of just who would, you know, believes him anymore. And that's why I think you're going to see more and more almost these type of whistleblowers maybe come out in this situation. Folks, Iran, the U.S., closer and closer to engaging in potentially direct combat. You need to read the book, brand new, Unholy Alliance by Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestseller. Go to unholyalliancebook.com, and you'll see, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a signed edition, unholyalliancebook.com. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
So we got you updated on the ASEA BB case, and if you join us for the second half hour of the broadcast, we're going to bring Shahryar Gill, who oversees our office in Pakistan. That case, which was supposed to be tried, remember, she is a Christian mother of five, on death row for since 2010. Her final appeal to the Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to be heard today. Usually that court issues opinions within hours. We would have already known by now, sometimes under these more internationally scrutinized cases and ones that could cause real, you know, violent outbreaks in the country as well. So domestically, maybe they take, you know, a week, but much quicker than our Supreme Court. Let's put it that way, except for one of the justices on the case that was scheduled to be heard today. We had our Center for Law and Justice Pakistan lawyers at the hearing in the court, the Supreme Court of Pakistan, recused themselves at the last minute, one of the three. So now the Chief Justice of the Pakistan Supreme Court has to put together a panel to hear this case. What does that mean? It means ASEA BB lives, and it means that her life still hangs in the balance, that the Pakistan government officials, including their judges, are feeling the pressure both internally in their own country from Islamic radical groups, but externally as well from human rights and all the different organizations supporting ASEA BB. I think it's actually maybe a good sign because it shows that the international pressure means something. What does that mean? We've got over 500,000 people signed on to this petition for ASEA BB. We've contacted many Pakistani government representatives. We have an office in Pakistan, so we're uniquely positioned there because we've got our Pakistani team. You know, they're all Pakistanis, the legal team there on the ground in the same city she's actually from. I mean, because it's kind of the Christian area of Pakistan, Lahore, Pakistan. And so we really need you folks, if you haven't signed on this petition, to go to aclj.org. It's our second largest petition in the history of the ACLJ. And on top of that, if you've already signed, make sure to share it with your friends and family. And I think this is one you need to share with your churches. We're heading into the weekend, getting a little bit closer to the weekend. If you can get your, you know, pastors or your small groups to pray for ASEA BB as well. This is a difficical time, but I think, you know, it's an important time that we live to fight another day, literally, in this case. So we've got a new update, by the way. So I know it's a lot of information up at aclj.org. There's a lot of political news. The FBI are now reporting, just if you just mentioned, and we'll get right to the phones. There are now leaks coming out of the FBI, confirmed by Fox News and other news outlets as well. Very upset, the government attorneys and FBI investigators. Here's one of the quotes. Quote, no trial level attorney at the Department of Justice agreed. No FBI agent working the case agreed with the decision by Jim Comey not to prosecute. And this, of course, was Hillary Clinton and her aides. It was a top down decision. That means that instead of the investigators getting to do their job, it was Attorney General Lynch and FBI Director Comey. And I guarantee we know the White House, the Obama administration, who made the decision for those career FBI agents and career DOJ attorneys not to prosecute. Here's going on, by the way, to quote this source. It, quote, it is safe to say that the vast majority of the agents and attorneys, so that's the FBI agents and the DOJ attorneys, felt she, talking about Hillary Clinton, should be prosecuted. Not just her lower staff, but that Hillary Clinton should be prosecuted. We were floored while listening to the FBI briefing because Comey laid it all out, as we said, and then said, but we're doing nothing, which made no sense to us. Another high-ranking official confirmed to Fox News that, quote, it was unanimous that we all wanted Hillary Clinton's security clearance yanked. Again, folks, Fox News breaking a great news story there. It affects the campaign, it affects politics, and Logan, I know that's what people want to talk about, so let's get to them.
Yep, let's go ahead. Let's go to Karen in Las Vegas.
Hi, Jordan. I have two questions.
Sure.
One is, why is it that Congress isn't doing anything about Hillary And the other is, instead of asking...
Well, let me answer that first. Congress can hold hearings. Congress can subpoena. Congress can get info. They cannot prosecute. You know, Congress does not have the ability to prosecute the case. That's the Department of Justice. So you can't blame them too much. You can sometimes say they could have done more here, more there, but they can't prosecute people. They can subpoena. Remember, she testified for 12 hours. They can get documents. They can ask questions. They can do it publicly. They can do it behind closed doors. But they cannot ultimately prosecute. But go on with your question, because I think you had one about Jim Comey as well.
Yes. Why is it, instead of asking him to resign, why aren't they investigating Jim Comey?
Well, here's one of the problems. He's the director of a government agency that handles investigations, the FBI. Now, two members of Congress, including the House Judiciary Chair, Than, have called for the independent government oversight agencies to look into how Comey and Loretta Lynch handled this. So they are asking for the inspector generals, I believe at the DOJ and maybe the FBI and State Department, to look into how this was handled by Comey and Lynch specifically. So members of Congress are calling on that kind of investigation.
Yeah, four chairmen actually, Jordan, have called for that.
And listen,
I think spinning this forward to where this investigation would go, yeah, in order for them to have any traction, Jordan, I think they're going to have to hear from these FBI agents who are concerned. I know that they have reached out to them. I know they are interested in hearing from them. But let's be very honest with our listeners about what that means. That means individual agents would have to be willing to sacrifice their career to release this information. That's why it's slow in coming.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't be willing to. Maybe they should. But you're talking about laying down your career in order to release this information.
Laying down your career and potentially the next president of the United States is you are like enemy number one to the next president of the United States. And we know from the Clintons, they'll take out enemies. I mean, they are the toughest of toughest political machine and political actors, probably in at least our modern history, this couple, like them or not, you cannot discount how good they are at politics when things seem so bad for them. So often they yet continue to rise up to different levels of power. Back to the phones, Logan.
Yeah, we only have a minute and a half, but we can go quick. Yeah. Okay, quick. Let's take a quick. Let's go to Raj in Vienna, Virginia.
Hey, Raj.
Thank you for the book, The Unholy Alliance.
Thank you, Raj.
That was half, almost a masterpiece.
Thank you.
Keeping us in touch with the systems as they are, I commend you and all your staff and all those who supported and prayed for what we are doing in this political arena. My question is this. The obstruction of justice caused by William Jefferson Clinton on that tarmac with Loretta Lynch, that has got to be our focus.
Yes, and Donald Trump, to his credit, which is unique, many, most times, Raj, I appreciate your phone call. It's a great question and to bring up, and thank you for your praises of our new book, Unholy Alliance. People can buy that. It's a New York Times bestseller now. It's brand new, unholyalliancebook.com, multiple ways, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Also, you can still get the signed special edition copies by our dad, Jay Sekulo. But let me just say, that is something Donald Trump has promised to do, if present, that he will investigate what's happened. He will reinvestigate Hillary Clinton. He can do that as president. Sometimes they would choose not to, and they would choose to focus on the future, but he promised in the debate that he would. So that could impact how people vote. Maybe it will impact how you vote. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to keep you updated on. Go to ACLJ.org, because everything that we talked about today in this first half hour, we're going to have stories about. We already do have stories about Nassia Bibi's case, that petition at ACLJ.org. The fact that the U.S. is getting closer and closer to direct military conflict with Iran right after that great nuclear deal. Go to ACLJ.org and buy UnholyAllianceBook.com.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have a lot to update you on. And just joining, if you're just joining us for our second half hour of the broadcast, and just let me go through kind of a few of the main stories we're following. Asia Bibi, Christian mother of five, has been on death row in Pakistan since she was convicted of blasphemy since 2010. She was scheduled to have her final appeal heard today by Pakistan's Supreme Court. One of the justices at the last minute recused himself. That means that there will have to be a new panel put together by the Chief Justice, and this trial will happen at a later date. Could take days, could take weeks, could take months. Good news, Asia Bibi is still alive. Bad news is that we didn't get a decision today, but I think overall it means the international pressure is working. We've got a great blog up at aclj.org. And if you're just joining us, the director who oversees our office in Pakistan, remember we have an office there where Asia Bibi is actually from, right. the Center for Law and Justice Pakistan, Shahrar Gill, will be joining us again in the next segment of the broadcast just to give us a quick update on what this move means by the court. He's from Pakistan, and he understands that legal system and oversees our office there. So that's update number one. Our petition is growing. It's our second largest petition in the history of the ACLJ for Asia Bibi at aclj.org. If you're one of the over 500,000 people that have already signed it, please share it with your friends and family. Get it to your prayer groups. Get it to your church groups as we head closer to the Sundays, because this is a critical time in her case. That's issue one. Issue two, the U.S. has finally fired back at the Iranian-backed terror group in Yemen. The Houthi, as they're called, Houthi rebels. Now, Houthi rebels belong to the Zaidi branch of Islam that the Ayatollah of Iran, that the Iranian government subscribes to. This is Fiverr Islam, 12er Shia Islam, if you will. They ruled Yemen for 1,000 years until the 1960s. Then the Sunnis kind of came into power there. They're just like Hezbollah. They're totally backed by Iran. All of their weapons come from Iran. And they decided in these more provocative moves by Iran, because again, Iran controls them, to fire at U.S. Navy ships in the Gulf of Aden, which is in the Persian Gulf. On Tuesday, they fired two missiles. Now, thankfully, our radar was able to detect those and shoot them out of the sky before hitting our ships. And then they did it twice again yesterday. So the U.S. and the Obama administration, give some credit here, has now responded. They took out two of the radar facilities for the Houthi terror group. They call themselves rebel groups in Yemen. Those were radar facilities that this group took over from the Yemeni government. They used those facilities to fire the missiles. Was it strong enough? I don't know. I don't think we've gotten enough information on what the actual damage done. Like, did we take out a lot of their troops? Did we take out more the terrorists themselves? But it does show the U.S. at this point, it seems, is now going to start firing back. What does that mean in the larger context? Just for everybody, very quickly, we are inching closer into a direct conflict with Iran, and Russia is now directly involved with this. Of course, we have a brand new book. It is a New York Times bestseller by our dad, Jay Sekulow, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda, Iran, Russian Jihadist Share for Conquering the World. It is available wherever books are sold, and you can go, of course, purchase online. A great place to go is unholyalliancebook.com, because we've got the link to Amazon. So if you're a Prime member, it ships very quickly. Barnes & Noble, if you got like a membership there, and a link where you can get a signed special edition copy by our dad, Jay Sekulow. That's another big news story. The third big news story is the FBI. We're starting to get some leaks out of the FBI and Department of Justice. A lot of criticism of Jim Comey, saying that basically all of the agents, career agents, these are not political appointees, and career attorneys at DOJ wanted Hillary Clinton prosecuted and all wanted her security clearance immediately revoked. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about politics when we come back. We've got phone lines, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, Facebook, and Periscope, we're going to get to their comments as well. We're going to focus a lot on politics in the next two segments of the broadcast and get a quick update from Shahrar Gill and Asia Bibi.
That's right. It's coming up right after the break. We'll be taking calls, but right now the lines are jammed. You get your comments on Facebook and Periscope. You obviously can get this later on archived. Share it with your friends on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast and aclj.org. We'll be right back with more Jay Sekulow Live exclusive videos coming up if you're watching online. Thank you.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to get into politics in just a moment and get to your phone calls. But so many of you have been following the case of Christian mother of five, Asiya Bibi, imprisoned in Pakistan and on death row since she was convicted of blasphemy in 2010. If this is all brand new to you, go to aclj.org. We've got a brand new updated blog about this and a petition. It's our second largest petition in ACLJ's history. Unfortunately, this has been a long battle, but Asiya Bibi is still alive. Her trial was supposed to be, her final appeal was supposed to be heard by the Supreme Court of Pakistan today. One of the judges recused themselves. That means the trial was postponed. And I want to go again. He was in the first, joined us in the first half hour of the broadcast. But we have a lot of new folks on in the second half hour to one of our ACLJ attorneys who oversees our Pakistan office. We have an office in Pakistan, Shahryar Gill. Shahryar, just to keep everybody updated here, we were supposed to get Asiya Bibi was supposed to have her final appeal heard today by Pakistan's Supreme Court. Usually that court makes decisions within hours. Maybe in this case, because it's got a lot of domestic pressure and international pressure, days. But it's not like our Supreme Court that takes months. And now it's been postponed. First, just tell people exactly what happened.
Yes, Jordan, as you said, that our team was actually present in the courtroom when the case was called. One of the justices on a three-judge panel recused himself, stating that he was a chief justice of the Islamabad High Court when that court decided the case of the security guard who had killed the governor of Punjab, Salman Taseer. And that case was related to Asiya Bibi's because the governor was supporting Asiya Bibi in her petition to the president for presidential pardon. So he was killed, and because the justice was a chief justice at the Islamabad High Court, he recused himself today.
And that recusal, Shahryar, as you said in that first half hour of the broadcast, could have come much earlier. You think this is likely because of both domestic pressures from Islamic radical groups who want Asiya Bibi and people like her to be executed, so they're threatening violent action, but also the international pressure from groups like us and the U.S. government and other pro-human rights government who believe that even under strict interpretations of Islamic law, this is a very weak case to sentence someone to death and actually hang a mother of five for. It is, again, the facts are weak. Even if I was prosecuting this as a Sharia, now I'm not going to say a word, but if I was prosecuting this, I would say, unlike the FBI in some of these matters, I would say, that, like Jim Comey, there's not enough here to even bring a case under strict interpretation of Islamic law. But what happens now?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, the justices would have known before that if there was a conflict. They knew it before, but I think you're correct that they know, the government knows that the international organizations, international other governments are watching and advocating for her release. So there's a lot of pressure on the Pakistani government and the court to actually decide her case one way or another.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was a lot of pressure from the extremists who were present at the court.
So you've got this dual pressure going on. We're going to monitor this. We've got a great blog up at ACLJ.org that gives you all the information. The petition, our second largest in ACLJ history. And as Shahar said, there is competing pressure here. And Shahar, we appreciate for your update. We know you're going to keep everybody updated. Thanks for joining us again to go through that. And, you know, taking those 2 a.m. phone calls, as you did, from our team in Pakistan that you oversee who are in the courtroom. Let me just say, folks, you've got competing pressure here. So you've got radical extremists in Pakistan pressuring, threatening violence if Asiya Bibi is not put to death. You've also got the international pressure like ours, like the U.S. government, like the European Union and United Nations calling for her release under international human rights standards. Because of that competing pressure, we need to make sure we're speaking up. It's the second largest petition in our history, but we need more names on it. We need more people involved. We also need more people to get updated on this because we've got more time now. So go to, Logan, it's at ACLJ.org. People can sign the petition there for Asiya Bibi. I know a lot of our listeners probably already have, but they need to share it with their friends and family now. Get it into prayer groups. Pray for her. Pray for her family. Pray for her legal team. But also make sure people are actually, you know, taking that second step of actually doing something about it, because we have an opportunity to. We have to compete.
That's right.
We're competing with pressure from Islamic radical groups in Pakistan. Think about that. It's kind of us versus them when it comes to pressuring this court.
Right. We live in kind of a like culture, which is you'll share it on your Facebook page, yeah, and you'll let someone like it, but you're not actually taking the action. Make sure you and your friends take the action. Go in. Also, sign up. Don't just share the article. Make sure that they sign the petition.
All right. A lot to talk about politically. Before we get to the phone calls, we got plenty of time to get to them, so everybody on there. And by the way, Zoe on Periscope said how terrifying Asiya Bibi's case is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Already horrendous. Very poor family. Christian mother of five working in the fields in Pakistan. Yeah, like as a farm worker. And gets accused of this by two Muslim farm workers who just didn't like her. I mean, really, that's how it's kind of, the facts have come out. And she spent 5 years in horrendous conditions in a Pakistani prison, but on death row. I mean, facing death by hanging. So, again, pray for that family. And we agree, it is terrifying. This is what happens, unfortunately, in these countries like Pakistan, which have institutionalized legally persecution of religious minorities, like blasphemy laws, which are officially on the books, and apostasy laws, which are officially on the books, and call for, if you're convicted of those, the only punishment allowed for the court to issue is death. Let's go. But I want to now shift. Now, we've got a lot going on, but we're still, you know, everybody wants to talk politics, and I get it 100%. So let me go to Than Bennett real quick. Than, your assessment, we've got a lot going on. We've got, for instance, we've got the New York Times, now Wall Street Journal, reporting on some allegations of women against Donald Trump. They kind of walked Donald Trump into this. Donald Trump had the video release. He then said in the debate that those were just, you know, he was just kind of braggadocious, but he never, and then he actually said in the debate he never would do anything like that. Now there are people, women accusing him of that. That's all I'm going to get into. I know people are listening to this broadcast with kids. We're on Christian radio and conservative talk radio. So I think everybody can look those stories up, and they've seen it for themselves. But it is dominating the news. So now he's got people accusing him of that. At the same time, you have all this Clinton scandal continues, and yet it's not quite breaking through into the news, which makes everyone, I think, nervous who's a conservative, with all the infighting that's already going on amongst Republican candidates, that if it's not breaking into the news at all through the mainstream outlets, that the independent voters are probably not getting this information, unfortunately.
Right.
I think that's exactly right, Jordan. I mean, I don't think there's any question but that on the macro level, this story has really damaged Donald Trump. You look at elected officials in Washington, D.C., their political apparatus is something that he is dependent on. He has lost the support of several dozen here in Washington, D.C. That has a real price to pay. But listen, at the same time, you have all of these stories with the leaked emails from Hillary Clinton, any one of which, Jordan, really would disqualify her in any other cycle. And I'll just give one example. The fact that her spokesman, Brian Fallon, who used to be an employee at the Department of Justice, was continuing to communicate with the Department of Justice about ongoing litigation that impacted the candidate, that alone would have ended her campaign, I believe, in any other cycle. So
all of these stories,
the question will be down the stretch, which one of those will get into the news cycles, which one will impact voters. And at the end of the day, Jordan, I think on Election Day, there are going to be a pile of voters that go into that booth, not quite sure who they're going to vote for.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'll tell you right now, folks, I'm one of those people. I mean, we don't tell you who to vote for
right
here, but sometimes we, you know, in our personal capacities, you can find out if you look through our other media feeds or articles. We've supported people in the past.
I felt that way in the primary, too. I said that.
Yeah. But honestly, I'll tell you, as of right now, I don't know. I mean, that's just Jordan. That's not ACLJ talking. That's not Logan. That's not Jay. That's not Dan talking.
I'm the same.
And we got people all over, different opinions of ours. But Logan, let's take a call before next break.
All right. Let's go ahead. Let's go to Joshua Caleb from beautiful Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Joshua, before you get to your question, hang on. You've been on for over 30 minutes. We're going to send you a signed copy of the brand new New York Times best-selling book, Unholy Alliance. But go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say concerning the indecisiveness, I think also looking at the people who Trump would put in power as compared to the people Hillary would put in power is a stark contrast. You know, VP pick the people they're bringing power with them. So that's something to consider, too. But also my question is concerning the polls. I think that they're kind of rigged, you know, in favor of Hillary. Is there any polls that you know of that we can actually trust as far as the numbers?
I mean, you don't want to put too much faith into any polls ever. You don't want to have a poll be the reason why you don't go out and vote. What they kind of give you is a sense of where things are in the country, the national polls, but really what's more important is the state-by-state polls. I will say this, though most of the latest polls have shown Hillary Clinton leading after this video release and after the debate, the latest Rasmussen poll, which was showed that, by the way, it showed right after the videos over the weekend, but before the debate, that Hillary Clinton had taken the lead back from Donald Trump in their poll. In their newest poll, which was just post-debate, Trump is back in the lead nationally by 2 points. Now, we haven't seen a lot of the state polls yet. That's probably being done right now. Just take them all with a grain of salt. It's more of a sense of where things are.
It'll be close.
I'd say this. Yeah. None of them are showing a total blowout yet. They haven't gotten that. Some have shown bigger leads, but not yet. We're going to keep talking about all these issues. Stay on the line. Go to ACLJ.org. Keep updated on the issues and buy UnholyAllianceBook.com.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
So we've got one line open for you, 1-800-684-3110. It's why I jumped in so quick.
So there. Fast.
We got literally one line open, 1-800-684-3110. Right. I'm not going to go through all of the news stories we covered today right now because all the folks have been hanging on a long time.
About one topic.
If you want to go back and listen to the show, you can always do that through Facebook. The video's there for people who are maybe listening on the radio station. The video's there, aclj.org. You can find it there. So you can go back and listen to all the things we covered. We've got a lot of blogs up, too, going up to aclj.org. Let's start, Logan, with those who have been holding on the longest and move on from there.
Melinda in Savannah, Georgia, you're on the air. Been a whole 31 minutes. Thanks.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Hey, thanks, Logan. My observation is Obama solved the disaster of a Hillary campaign by going to war with Russia and Iran and staying president.
Well, he has certainly not yet gone to war with Russia and Iran. All he authorized ultimately was that the U.S. Navy ship that had been fired on twice, four different missiles, by an Iranian-backed terror group in Yemen, the Houthi rebels, that they could respond by taking out two radar facilities. And we're not talking about a massive a military response to this aggression by the group. And we haven't gotten full reports. I mean, that could have killed 200 or 300 of their fighters. It could have killed no one. But it did take out their radar systems that they've taken over from the Yemeni government. And that means it's more difficult for them to fire the missiles. So that's a good thing. I don't care who the president is, that our military is finally being allowed to fire back. It took way too long in this situation, but it does send a signal to Iran. Now, Iran has responded by sending two of their ships right into this same area. They're already, of course, in the Persian Gulf like we are. They have legal rights to be there, by the way. But not to do things that can cause harm to ships, but they can have safe right of passage. Now they've not just put those ships, though, in the Persian Gulf. They're now moving them right into the Gulf of Aden, which is that right off the coast of Yemen. People remember the USS Cole incident. This is that volatile region of the world, even for just normal shipping boats. Many have to go through this area because of the countries like the UAE and all that. It's a dangerous place for non-military vessels. You've got the Somali pirates as well, right on the other side of the Gulf of Aden. Here's number two, though, because your question about this going to war, he stays in office. That's not how it works in America. He is done with his term. So let's say a full-scale war with a country started tomorrow. President Obama doesn't get to stay in office past January 20. He just doesn't. That's just how America works. The next president of the United States, unless something very bizarre happens, like with Trump or Clinton, will be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And they will be president by January, regardless if there's a war going on or not. But Melinda, we appreciate your phone call and for holding on. By the way, for everybody who's holding on right now, because they can all hear me, if you hang on, we are going to try to get your address and send you a signed copy of our New York Times bestseller, Unholy Alliance. So I can't do that for everybody. I'm not going to repeat it to everybody because we got five more to get through. But just so you know, we want to send you this. You've been holding on. Unholy Alliance. Hang on after your question. Don't hang up your phone, and we'll get your address and get you the signed book.
All right, Bill's calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming, Buffalo Bill.
Good day to you. How are you doing?
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, real quick topic question, and then I'll ask my serious one. Are you guys planning on making an album?
That would go. We are not in the Jay Sekulow band.
We've been kicked out of the Jay Sekulow band, but. I think they are in the process of working on some original material.
Yeah, they're
not included in those discussions.
They do have original material.
They do.
And we play that. That's all. That's it. There's a Facebook page, Jay Sekulow Band.
You can follow the videos.
So you can follow all that, all the videos. I think that they do have their work on original stuff.
Yeah, some of the original content and the Christmas record is still, if you have Spotify
or there's
iTunes,
Christmas
whatever,
as well.
You can
get that. We got not a lot of new listeners now who are just hearing. All of our intro and outro music, unless Logan and I request something specific, is now our dad's band.
Here's my question, then. You're doing a good job, so as soon as I get the money, I'm going to send you some more.
We appreciate that, Bill. We appreciate your support.
And I hope this isn't a dumb question, but since how this was such a ridiculous attempt at investigating Hillary Clinton, how does that sound concerning with anything to do with double jeopardy?
That's a great question, Bill. That's a great question. Because people think, well, the investigation was closed, right? So can you be reinvestigated? Because we have this, those laws in the U.S. that protect you from being prosecuted twice if you were found not guilty the first time. That is not the case here, because she wasn't actually prosecuted. She was investigated and they closed the investigation. You can always reopen investigation. The statute of limitations on this are long, and especially long enough for the next president of the United States to decide. Now, Hillary Clinton's not going to do it, but if it was Donald Trump and he said he will, he could absolutely, there's no double jeopardy issue here. He can absolutely reopen the investigation and bring charges, prosecute. I mean, you have to go to court and prosecute. You can't just put him in jail. You got to go through the process, but you can absolutely, not a double jeopardy issue, because there was actually no prosecution and no case, so there was no she was never found not guilty. Right. She just was not prosecuted, and so that's the difference there. Let's go back to the phones.
Continuing on, Joy in Birmingham, Alabama, you're on the air.
Hey, Joy.
Hi. Yes, I have a question, and I've even sent this information to Donald Trump. I'm fixing to get in touch with Fox News. Nobody is asking this one question. Every time WikiLeaks or whoever's putting this stuff out here drops these emails, they are Hillary Clinton's camp, and I guess she does too, always blames it on Russia.
Uh-huh.
Let's think back. Wasn't she in Russia,
yeah,
using devices? Didn't her team leave documents in her,
yes,
hotel rooms?
Yes,
so
they did.
Wouldn't it technically be her own fault?
Oh, to some extent, yes. She's been so vulnerable with her email systems and the people surrounding her because she created her own server. And you're right. Remember, her top confidential aide left classified info in a Moscow hotel room. The FBI thankfully found it in their sweep that they do of the rooms after that aide got in some trouble, not actual legal trouble, but got a, you know, talking to, if you will. I will add to this, by the way, that with one, I'm not convinced it what is Russia. I think this is a Clinton campaign talking point. They have no proof of that. We have no evidence of that. Number two, Hillary Clinton criticizes Donald Trump a lot for the Putin issue, which I think Mike Pence kind of explained perfectly, which is he is a stronger leader in his own country than President Obama is in our country. That does not make him good. One of them good, one of them bad. It just is a fact. But we now have in these leaked emails documents that show Hillary Clinton praising Vladimir Putin and seeking a positive relationship for him. So again, lots to talk about there. All of this is going to come up in that next debate next week, but we've got two more calls to get to. Let's do them.
Jason in Phoenix, you're on the air.
Hey guys, appreciate all your work.
Hey, Jason.
As a Christian conservative, my faith is in the Lord and I pray for his will to be done, but it's just amazing the uneducated American public.
Yeah.
The Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the Clinton Foundation. Yep. If you're just paying half attention and you're intellectually honest, you see all the criminal activities going on, and you just lose hope that even what came out today, you lose hope that anything is ever going to be done where anyone's going to be held accountable despite all your guys' work. Nothing is ever done, and we're going to need divine intervention Trump to be elected, because then you have the ballot's going to be safe. Is that going to be secure?
Yeah, no, I get you. I get all your concerns, Jason. Hold on the line, too. We'll send you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. One, you never want to forget divine intervention, the supernatural, because that can, you know, change you and move mountains, or faith can move mountains. We believe that as Christians. Number two, the Clintons have always been good at kind of getting out of being held accountable. At the same time, if she doesn't win, she's not going to have that kind of power that she used to and her husband used to. We got 20 sec. Let's take Arnold.
Arnold, you're on the air very quickly. 10 seconds.
Yeah, for those FBI agents and the DOJ lawyers, can they get exonerated by the next president if they happen to be fired from the position when they reveal information like that?
Yeah, you're saying, like, if they come out against Clinton, could Trump put them back in? Yes, but that's a big, big risk for them. We'll see if any decide to do that. ACLJ.org, folks, great show, covered a lot. We'll talk to you next time.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.